As you're probably aware, this summer we're doing a series, and different men are taking turns rotating teaching the class, and this morning is my turn. This morning, the subject this morning is rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, which is a verse that we're all very, very familiar with. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth." The series that the book that we were, I guess, kind of working from, some of Wendell Winkler. Wendell Winkler took kind of an interesting approach to this, but it's not the approach I really want to take. I am going to just share it with you just in summary. He took the position, or he used the verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, to talk about the two divisions of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. He talked about, you know, them being the two great divisions, and he contrasted the two. I'll give you some of the, just again, some of his points. The old called the old, new called the new. Old called the first, the New Testament called the second. He has scriptures for all of these. I'm going to move a little bit quick through this part. The old was faulty, Hebrews 8:7. The new is perfect, James 1:25. The old was glorious, the new was more glorious. The old was given to the Jews, the new universal. The old contains shadows and types. The new contains the real. The old had the Levitical priesthood. Of course, the new has all Christians are priests. The old offered animal sacrifices. The new Christ's blood was shed, was the sacrifice. The old sins were remembered, pushed forward, and then the new sins are not remembered. You know, he points out that we are not under both Testaments, that we're not under the Old Testament, that we are under the New Testament. And kind of in conclusion, he says, let us study the Old Testament, not because we live under it, but because it was written for our admonition and learning. Let us study the New Testament, since it is through this means we hear Christ, and since it is the law, we shall be judged. It was interesting to read what he had, but I view that, in my view on 2 Timothy 2:15, you can take what he said and you can absolutely apply it this way as that principle and one application of that principle. But I think that 2 Timothy 2:15 is a much broader verse in the Bible. Again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling correctly the word of truth. I don't know if any of you have heard James Watkins' sermon on rightly dividing the word of truth. It's outstanding. And, you know, there's several verses I think we can go to in the Bible. And let's start out by looking at some of these other verses. Get the right paper up here. Let's start out by looking at some of these other verses. And a lot of these verses are verses that we're familiar with and that, I think go to this theme of 2 Timothy 2:15. And by the way, I want to say up front that I think that 2 Timothy 2:15, we'll go further this direction a little bit. I think 2 Timothy 2:15 is kind of the ultimate verse in the first about 20 verses of 2 Timothy that brings all those verses together in the real central theme of what Paul is saying in this letter that he's writing to Timothy. I think that, you know, again, the concept of study, being approved of God, a workman, and handling the scriptures correctly. I think that all of that comes together. But before we look at these 20 verses, 19, 20 verses of 2 Timothy, let's look at some other scripture that I think goes hand in hand. First, as we think of 2 Timothy, do be aware, you know, in King James says study, okay? Most other verses say give diligence, all right? All right, it says to show yourself approved of God, a workman that does what he handles aright, correctly handles. Now, the Old King James says rightly divides, but every other version, American Standards handle aright the word of truth. New King James, a worker that handles a right, I believe, is also there. And then I thought I'd written down the other one, but I hadn't. But most of them, as I recall, I usually look at four versions of the Bible. The New King James, the King James, the American Standard, and English Standard Version. It's kind of crazy that today we have these tools at our hand so easily to be able to look at multiple versions. And there's several obviously good versions of the Bible. And to use those, I think brings a better understanding when you're able to do that. Okay, think of some scriptures that would go hand in hand that you think would be parallel to or add to 2 Timothy 2:15. What comes to your mind? How about 2 Timothy 3:16? Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Goes hand in hand with that verse, doesn't it? Now, of course, this is the next chapter. This is Paul continuing his encouragement, his exhortation to the young preacher Timothy. How about Psalm 119:160? What does that say? Key word in this verse is the sum. Okay, remember that? The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever. That's the American Standard says some. The English Standard says some. The New King James says entirety, and the King James says beginning. The actual word there for some is R-O-S-H, pronounced Roshe, I believe is how you pronounce it. But if you look at that word if it's not being specific to a man or an animal or something of that nature, then entirety or some is a correct rendering of that. So again, Psalm 119:160, we see the sum of thy word is truth. Go back to 2 Timothy 2:15. Study shall thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. The sum of thy word is truth. So again, Psalm 119:160 goes hand in hand with 2 Timothy 2:15. Anybody think of another one? Very strong admonition. Right? Very much in harmony with that theme that we see throughout the Bible, which is, you know, the completeness, the whole, approach it from the whole. I think you go to John chapter 1. I mean, we quote it a lot, but you really honestly cannot overquote that. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was at the beginning with Him. All things were created by Him, nothing was created without Him. Okay? You drop on down to verse 14, let's back up verse 10. He was in the world was made by Him, the world knew Him not. He came into His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God, even them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, what? Became flesh. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You cannot get away from truth. If there's a word to just really focus in on, it's the word truth. Truth is a whole. It's a complete. You ever hear somebody say, that's a partial truth? We like to say that, don't we? I mean, in the world today, well, you know, that's partial truth. I don't think there's any such thing. I mean, the truth is a whole thing. It is not an incomplete thing. Go ahead, Josh. That's good. Stop and think about it, okay? If the whole is what makes up the truth, okay? So again, Psalm 119:160, the sum, the whole truth, the whole Word of God, all right? So, how are you going to handle it aright? Handle correctly the word of truth. How are you going to do that? You're going to do it by studying, right? You know, we're not like Paul, right? How did Paul get the word of truth? By the Spirit. It was given to him, wasn't it? But here's Paul. He's telling Timothy. How did Timothy get the word of truth? And his mom and grandmother, right? You see three examples, and specifically here we see it in 2 Timothy, we see it in all of Timothy when he's writing to him, that, you know, Timothy had to learn. What does Romans 10:17 say? Who wants to quote it? Huh? I know you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? So again, how does it come by? It comes by hearing the word of God. Okay? Let's see. How about, I think another good verse to go along is John 17:17, which says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Who said that? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Who said that? Christ said that. Okay. You know, we think about this handling aright the word of God. Okay. Handle it correctly. What do you think, would you agree with this, that the most quoted verse in the Bible is John 3:16? Would you agree with that? I will make this observation, and I think this is an example of not handling aright the truth, okay, the word of truth. We use John 3:16, okay? Rick, you can jump in here and correct me if I say something wrong or Josh, but all right. So, I believe this, if you took 10 people who said they're Christians, just randomly, and you quoted that verse, they could quote it, okay? And then you said, would you write down who said that? I'm going to tell you, I believe 8 of them would get it wrong. Okay? Now you think about that. Who said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall be saved? Who said that? Now you think about that for a minute, okay? I'm not going to embarrass anybody, okay? That's right, Christ said it. Most people will not say Christ said it. Most people don't realize Christ himself said that. Okay? Now, they want to quote that in the concept of, okay, believe, and that's all you got to do. Who's having a conversation with Christ here? Nicodemus. What's the subject? What's the central point of the subject? Baptism. But yet they don't, I mean, even if you take John 3:16, Nicodemus has come to him, you know, at night, and he says, unless you be born again, right? You know, this is Christ talking to Nicodemus is who this is. So, 2 Timothy 2:15, handle correctly the word of God. Do we see people mishandle the word of God? All the time. In James Watkins' sermon, and it's such an outstanding sermon, he will go from Hebrews, from Genesis to Hebrews, back and forth with the Hall of Faith and with, you know, Abraham and with all of them, Noah, et cetera, et cetera. He will go through there and show how, you know, look at this and you've got to take this. It was, you know, their faith was a working faith. It was demonstrated. It was an obedient faith. You know, it says faith was reckoned to him, and he shows how you have to take all of that. What about, the subject of belief is the one that I think is so amazing. Handle aright the word of God. Handle it correctly. Okay, so believe. How many people in the New Testament believed, can you show believed, and were not saved? How many people? Off the top of your head. Anybody have a number? Thousands. Okay? You can't think about it. Now, we like to quote the ones who said, you know, they believed, but like the preeminence of man, didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue, and therefore they returned. We like to quote that one. We like to quote Judas. Obviously, Judas believed, right, and he was lost. We'll quote the demons even believed, right? And so these are all ones that we're real familiar with. Did they believe when they cried out, what must we do to be saved? And there were thousands, right? They believed, right? They were at the point of belief. What did he say to do? Repent and be baptized. Okay? So again, here's another. And the one I like the best is, you know, we got an example of an apostle, right? Who believed but was not saved, right? In his own words. He believed on that road to Damascus when he saw Christ, right? He believed, and for 3 days he was blind. And what did he say? What did Paul in his words say Ananias said to him? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, right? So, this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, is such an important verse. It is so important to understand this verse and to understand that it's the whole counsel of God. It's the sum of the Word of God that is truth. It's not a partial. It's not a piece. And we have to handle it correctly in order to handle it, in order to please God. So let's go to we'll skip that one. Let's go ahead and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading and going through these verses and just making some observations. And, you know, feel free to speak up. And if you've got a parallel scripture that you think harmonizes, bring it up. That's great. There's no way I had everything right here that would be in harmony with this. Or if you have a thought or a point, you know, feel free to speak up and share that. As we begin to go through it, let's first look again at verse 15 and let's pull out the main points of verse 15. Okay, study to show thyself, be diligent to show thyself, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the way I break this down is the ultimate thing here is the approval of God, right? That's what we're after here is God's approval, right? That's what it says, all right? So you don't need to be ashamed. You will be approved of God. In order to do that, right underneath that, I put handling aright the word of God, handling aright the word of truth, knowing the word of truth, okay, to be able to handle it right. So then the next thing underneath that I put is, you know, study, all right? We've got to study, all right? In order to study, in order to diligently know, to learn the word of truth, in order to be approved of God, then I just kind of put a bracket and I put the fourth thought of that verse, which is a workman. Okay? Lazy people aren't going to make it. Okay? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, handling correctly the word of truth. Okay? Alright, so with those four kind of thoughts, we want God's approval, we have to handle the Word of God right, to handle it right, we have to learn it, we have to know it, and to do that, it's not going to fall on top of us, okay? We've got to work to do that, we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. So now then, let's go ahead and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Mike, can I get you to read, read the first two verses for me. Okay, now remember, as we go through these verses, always take your mind to verse 15 and these concepts that we were talking about. Now, of course, Paul is writing this to Timothy. But in writing this to Timothy, who else is he writing it to? To us. That's right, to Christians, okay? So he opens up, you know, and of course, he has strong feelings towards Timothy. He calls him my son. Now he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's truth. That's the Word. Okay? The Word became flesh. Okay? So this is what, you know, we are we have to know it. He says, be strong. Do you equate the word strong with lazy? You don't. You don't. You equate the word strong with a worker. So, you know, again, think about these as we go. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me, okay, the things that Paul has taught him, he has learned this. He has heard the word of God, okay, the things that thou hast heard. And you've heard it multiple times. You've heard it over and over, okay? The same commit, okay, commit. What does that mean? Work. Okay? Commit. You got to do something. You don't just sit around and commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, this concept is a concept of evangelism, and evangelism doesn't just happen. Evangelism takes work. It takes effort. Okay? And evangelism should mushroom. It should grow. Those who come in to the faith, those who come to the truth, they themselves, again, this command is to them to learn it, work, understand it, handle it correctly, teach others, share it with others, let the gospel grow, let the church grow, be approved unto God. All right, verse, any comments? Let's do three through six. Josh, would you read those? Okay. Four verses. We're given three different examples. They're parallel examples here. Josh, were you reading out the New King James or the New King James? I thought that you were. So let's back up. Verse number three. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay? What's a soldier? They're a worker, right? You don't survive in an army if you're not a worker, do you? All right? Endure hardness. This concept, this is a very much a concept of working. The verses 3 and 4, he deals with the concept of, he uses the soldier. Verse 5, he uses the athlete. In verse 6, he uses the husbandman or gardener. So here we are, verse 3 and 4. Endure hardness, a soldier of the truth, a soldier of Jesus Christ, okay? A good soldier is going to handle the truth right, not going to be lazy. He's going to have to endure hardness. It's going to put forth effort on his part. No man that warreth, a lazy man loses a war. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Okay, please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Parallel with approved of God, verse 15. Okay, please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. But in there, he kind of throws the anti, kind of the opposite. No man that warreth does what? Entangleth himself in the affairs of this life or this world. What does that mean? That's right. It's a good, very good parallel. Today, I'll make this observation. Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. It is very easy to entangle oneself with the affairs of this life. It's very easy. We have instant news. We have instant reactions to things. Instant influence is attempted and tossed at us. You can go on the internet and you can read, for example, in just a matter of 2 minutes. I mean, you could read the headlines on USA Today, CNN, Fox News. I mean, you could do it like that. 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, if anything in the world has changed, you can click on there and you'll see those headlines have changed. It is easy to be entangled in the affairs of this world. It's easy to let our mind go to these things, okay? Affluence is another problem that for the Christian is easy to cause us to be entangled into this world. We in this country have it way too good. We're very affluent. We have so many luxuries. And again, stop and think about what this concept is in 2 Timothy 2:15. And for us, as Christians living, I think, in this country, with our entitlement society that we live in, and with the cultural influences that just inundate us all the time, it is hard. I mean, this is an important clause in here. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. And I will tell you, that is something that we need to take to heart. We need to pay attention to, because it is every single day hits us. Every single day, multiple times, over and over and over, we are pulled and the devil, Satan, wants to pull us into this world. He wants to pull us into things of this life, whether it's physical pleasures, whether it's, politics today is such a waste of time. I mean, it really is such a waste of time. There's so little constructiveness. I mean, why get entangled in that? Okay, so verses 4 and 5, the example is the warrior, the soldier, okay? Verse number 5. King James says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now, this is the concept of the athlete. If the athlete is going to win the race, okay, he has to do so within the rules. And what's this concept? It's doing it right. It's handling it correctly, okay? And what's supposed to happen to cheaters? You know, they don't win the race. They're humiliated. They're ashamed, certainly when they're caught. You know, sometimes in the world we live in today, I'm not so sure that's always the truth. You know, again, example here of the athlete. Back in this time when this was written, I believe that it's correct that, you know, there were a lot of games that went on, similar to what we would call the Olympics today, I believe, things that were going on. And, of course, they would have had, you know, rules. This is something that Timothy and Christians at this time could have related to. Yet is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Crowned, approval of God, right? Okay, strive, work. Okay, lawfully, handle it aright. Verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Okay, who wants to explain that verse? Anybody want to take a shot at it? There are, this verse right here, I actually have probably looked at it more than any other verse leading up to verse 15. And you will definitely get, you can get more than one thought on this verse. Okay, and I don't think either one could be said to be wrong. At least I can't see that. Of course, this is the third example. We've got the gardener, the husbandman, that laboreth. Okay, anybody that's a gardener or vineyard, has a vineyard, whatever, in this day and time, they're probably thinking more of like a vineyard. But what do you have to do? Work. That's right. You gotta do the right things. I mean, whether it's plow the ground, whether it's fertilize, whether it's keep the weeds out. If you want a good harvest, if you want a good crop, you've got to work. And that's an easy concept tying into, verse 15. Okay? To work. Okay? But what does it mean when it says, be the first partaker of the fruits? You know, you can relate partaker of the fruits as the approval of God. You can relate that in there, but be the first, what does that mean? I think what you said, and you can correct me if I say this wrong, is really how I read the verse, but it's really not how most commentators will apply that word first. But I personally think it can go either way. If you handle aright, okay, if you study to show yourself approved, if you study, what are you going to be? You're going to be a Christian, okay? And before you teach somebody else, you're going to be a Christian, right? And in that sense, you will have partaken of Christianity, okay, before you will be evangelistic. Now, I had this conversation with Don Blackwell 2 days ago, and we were talking about it. And he said, you know, I never thought about it like that. He said, but it makes sense. But he went back and did, he has access to some pretty good tools, and he sent me some stuff on it. And it's, and one of the really technical commentaries was Barnes. And he says, he goes in and he takes the construction, in the Greek, the way it's constructed, and he makes the argument. Now, others make the argument, he does it a little more technically, that first is better applied, that you must first labor. You must first work in order to have the fruits. It's a very good argument, and I don't have any objection to it at all, but also don't have any objection to the thought of we cannot handle it aright, we cannot be evangelistic, we cannot share it until we ourselves have become a Christian. And I really don't, based on everything I've read at this point, I don't think either one of them is wrong. So, any comments? Is that, you know?
Yeah, but I would say both of them are, again.
Let's read verse, excuse me. Randy, would you read verses 7 through 10? Okay. So again, thinking about verse 15, okay, consider, it's going to take some effort, what I say, what has Paul said? Paul has said the gospel, he has taught the gospel, the word, the truth, okay? He says, may the Lord, you know, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things, This is understanding to be able to handle it correctly. Okay? Think about it, learn, study, and, you know, you do so correctly. Have correct understanding. Remember, okay, this is learning that Jesus Christ, the truth, the word of truth. Remember that the word of truth, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Okay? This is all again about, you know, the truth, the word of God, understanding it, learning it, hearing it, handling it correctly, and using it, not being lazy. Verse number 9, wherein I suffer trouble. Okay? What does suffer equate to? In verse 15, go ahead. I think so. Endurance, patience, which is that concept. It's really, it's 2 points. The concept of work, okay, not being lazy, in the context also of handling it right. And he says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Was he an evildoer? No. But he was punished as an evildoer, right? He was imprisoned, right? Yet he was not an evildoer. He says, you know, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. What's he telling Timothy here? And it goes right to what you were saying, Randy. He's suffered, okay? He worked. He put forth effort. He was handling it correctly. And he had to suffer, even unto being imprisoned. Okay? This isn't easy. Again, lazy people, you know, this isn't, you know, I don't think it's for lazy people. But the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not bound. Okay? The word, Christ, the word, truth, the word, the sum, the complete, the whole, okay, is not bound. Does that tie to Revelation, the theme of Revelation? What's the theme of Revelation, Josh? We win. It's not bound. You cannot bind it. Okay? No matter what they try to do here on this earth, it will not be bound. Therefore, I, Paul, endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now he says, I endure all things for whose sake? For the elect's sake. This shows, again, I endure all things. He's a worker, evangelistic. I mean, this is for, you know, this is what he is. He's an evangelist. He's going out there for the elect's sake, okay, for those Christians. I endure all things, all right, that they may obtain, what's verse 15 say? Approval, right? Obtain the salvation, that's approval, which is in, what? The truth, Christ Jesus, all right, with eternal glory. Again, talking there about, you know, of course, our reward, we win. Any comments? Which he did, didn't he? He was an example of that, right? Yes. Right. That is right. I think that as the world becomes more and more unrighteous, more and more immoral, we at times feel kind of sorry for ourselves a little bit, okay? And I think it's good to think back on Noah, you know, because again, he had it worse than we had it. And, you know, he preached for, what, 120 or 40 years. And, you know, we sure haven't had it as bad as Noah had it. But, you know, again, we win in the end, Revelation. You know, the word of God will not be bound. Okay, verse number 11, it is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. You know, how are we dead with him? How does that tie to verse 15? Handling aright the word of God. I mean, if you do what's right, if you do what the scriptures say, we will die with him, okay? I mean, it's true. Anybody, any comments? Verse 12, if we suffer, we've been over that word, we shall also reign approved of God. With him, the truth. If we deny him, he will deny us. Okay? The anti here, we deny him, he will deny us. Again, we can choose to be in the group that's going to be losers. We know who's going to be the winner. We know at the end who wins. It's God. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Why is he saying this to Timothy here? Why do you think he's saying that to Timothy? I do. He's going to see this in others is what's going to happen. Timothy's going to see this in others. I think it is a subconscious encouragement, so to speak. He's planting that seed of some of what Timothy is going to encounter. Yes, I think you're right. Okay, verse 14. Of these things, what things? Truth, the Word of God. Put them in remembrance. This is a working concept. Use them, teach them. Charge them, again, a working concept, work, before the Lord. If we're going to be approved, we need to understand that God sees us, that He's everywhere, He knows what we do. So charging them, working before the Lord in the Word of truth, that they strive not about words to no profit. In other words, that they don't handle the word incorrectly. They don't, you know, ignore the word, but that they do what is said. But they strive not about words to no profit. And he refers to that, but to the subverting of the hearers. What is he saying there, the subverting of the hearers? There were going to be false teachers. There were going to be people that were going to do this, right? Again, he's telling Timothy, you're going to have to know the word. You're going to have to handle it correctly. You're going to have to work, okay? And it's not going to be easy, all right? This is what you're faced with. Any comments? We're too quiet. Souls is certainly right. Preach it. Handle it correctly. All right, and then. As he gets to these first 14 verses, you see verse 15. Again, I think it summarizes everything he's saying here. And then afterwards, I think he does some reiterating and some re-solidifying, where he says, shun profane and vain babblings. They will just increase to more ungodliness. This is words that are not the truth. This is teachings that are not the word of God. And, you know, he's telling him to shun those things. He says, their word will do what? It will eat as a canker. What does that mean? Their word, he's talking about these subverters. What does eat as a canker? What does that mean? New King James, that's good. Spread like cancer. It's going to grow. That's what it's saying, is it's going to spread. You're going to have to fight this, okay? Because people have what? Itching ears, right? Okay? People like to be told it's okay. I mean, you stop and think about it. It feels good to say, you know, I can just go into a confessional and, you know, I mean, I was with the guy the other day, and I mean, every word out of his mouth of the word, I got so sick of listening to him. But filthy, and he's a Catholic, and I'm thinking, you know, what do? You know, you think you can take the Lord's name in vain, and nothing matters, the scripture doesn't matter. But again, people have itching ears. They are happy to listen to doctrinal error. Oh, it's time for us to quit. Okay, real quick. Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred. You know, the truth, we cannot be in error with it. We have to take the whole counsel of God. We have to handle it correctly. And verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation, which is the truth of God, standeth sure. Okay, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. These are the ones that he has approved of, that will be approved of. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.